let us think and pray. Holy and righteous God, we thy children have come before thy holy face and into the light of thy holy and precious word. Dear Father, we ask that thou be present with us through thy Spirit. We ask that thou would extend thy graciousness to us, that we might be comforted through the knowledge of thy dear Son and that great work which he has done for us. Dear Father, warm our hearts through the love of thy word and the love that thou hast given or shown to us through thy Son. Thou knowest all of our cares, those temptations that we have, even those sins that we have fallen into. So speak unto us, dear Heavenly Father, that we might receive that food for the soul, that which we need to continue on this journey that leads us to life eternal. Dear Father, we thank thee for the many temporal blessings that you have given us, all those things that are needful for this life and body. They are gifts that thou hast given unto us without any merit on our part. You have given, according to thy wisdom, those things that are good for us and that we can receive. Dear Father, we most of all thank thee for the gift of faith, for the hope of eternal life, and for this kingdom that we call our home, the fellowship of thy dear children. Dear Father, we pray that this day and every day when thy holy word is opened and thy servants begin to proclaim that which you give unto them, that they would do it according to thy Spirit, and that nothing would be added to it, neither would anything be taken away from it. But we understand, dear Father, that it is only through thy Holy Spirit that thy word can be opened to us. Give us also ears to hear and to hearts to believe that which is proclaimed unto us. Dear Father, we pray for all people, for those members of our communities, our neighbors and friends who are not at this time partakers of thy kingdom. We pray in their behalf. Open unto them that need to find thee, a gracious God, and bring them here unto thy sheepfold, and reveal unto them that thy kingdom is here upon earth. Dear Father, we pray too, especially for our next of kin, our prodigal children, those who have once been partakers of thy kingdom. Call them also here unto this kingdom of grace and forgiveness, where they can find abundant forgiveness for all sins. Dear Father, bless the work of thy kingdom across the face of this earth. Give courage unto thy servants to proclaim thy word, and keep us all here safely in thy kingdom. Dear Father, we desire to enclose into that prayer that thy Son has taught us those many unspoken petitions that we have brought here with us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. We shall take for our text and to study a portion of God's Word found in Matthew 25, a text that is appointed for this day. This day is Judgment Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. The text is from verses 31 through 46, and we read in Jesus' name and with prayerful hearts. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And then shall he set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king said, shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Amen. As we mentioned, this is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday will be Advent season, and we will have that hope of the coming of the Lord Jesus a second time, while remembering His first coming. The text that we have read is very sobering. When I read it last night and again today, it caused those kind of thoughts to come into mind that what if one was not ready to depart and leave when that call came, or when the Lord Jesus appeared? But of course, we can be comforted, and dear brothers and sisters, even now at the beginning of these services, I want to preach that gospel to you that you can believe, all of your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. We need not fear that day of judgment or the coming of our Lord. When we live by faith and keep a good conscience, that is all that is asked of us. A certain part of the scripture speaks in that way that this is the work of God, that you would believe upon Him whom He has sent. So it is by faith that we are acceptable to God through the salvation work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not by anything that we would do. Yet we know that the living faith brings forth fruits, even of which are called to our attention in this text. Good for us and for all people to come before such a text as this to realize that there is a end to this world. Time will stop and all people will be called before the judgment seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. That duty has been given unto Him to be the judge of all people and nations, as we read, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. So it is a time that no one can escape, a time of dread for some, but for the children of time, children of God, a blessed time, a time when finally the bride of Christ, the kingdom of God, shall be united forever with the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. We read or read that He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And as oftentimes we recall, and this particular verse speaks unto us, that the reality of the scripture and the reality of the word of God is that there are only two type of people. There are those that believe and those that do not believe. and there is no middle ground to be found. So it is sobering for us to think of this and other parts of this particular text, that throughout the Scripture, there is only spoken of two people. In the Old Testament time, it was that of the people of Israel, the nation of Israel, and the children of God of that time, and the other nations of that time. And in this New Testament time, we speak of God's kingdom and the children of God and God's kingdom and those that are not partakers of God's kingdom. Recently, I read of one particular, or read the blog of one particular individual who related that it is too exclusive to speak of it this way, that there is God's kingdom, and it is uncomfortable for some to listen and to think that there is a kingdom of God and there are children of God, that it would be better to speak in a more softer way or kinder way, perhaps, that one would speak only of Jesus and his life and his work, but apart from the kingdom of God. But we know that Christ cannot be separated from his kingdom, for it is his body. The kingdom of God is the body of Christ. So how then could we separate the Lord Jesus from his kingdom and speak of him without speaking of his kingdom? But that is such that comes from the carnal mind of man, that one is uncomfortable with the truths of God's word or the way of salvation. It is not pleasant to hear that one should make repentance and believe the gospel if one is troubled by sin and wants to continue in the ways of this life. One would rather want to believe that outlet is needed, is to believe that Jesus lived on this earth and died upon the cross for the sins of all people, and not to speak of his kingdom or the power of the Holy Spirit. It seems, even at this time, at this moment, it seems like such a basic matter, dear brothers and sisters, to speak of this, that it is God's Holy Spirit that gives power to the Word. It is that Spirit that opens the Word and opens the heart of each individual. But yet, some would want to say that all that is necessary is to read the Word and let it be as it is in the heart of the believer, not to proclaim this message in such a direct way. But that is the time that we live in, is a time, and we can say not so much different from any time, but we are part of God's kingdom, and the enemy of the soul wars against the children of God and against the doctrine of the kingdom of God. This text is one of three that was offered for our study today, and it seems to be the one that most detail describes that day that is to come. as we read, that shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit that kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We can, I think, only in a veiled or only in a dim way at this time, when we travel this life of faith, understand what a blessed moment that will be for the children of God to hear those words that, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. At that point we know that surely all sorrow and all battle shall cease, and that moment of peace that shall continue then for all eternity shall begin. And we as God's children will finally be safe from the trials and temptations of this life. It is according to this word, this very verse, a kingdom that has been prepared from the foundation of the world. God and our Lord Jesus Christ already knew at that time all things that would come to pass, and the difficulties and the battles that we must face as the children of God, but that there would be this kingdom that we could be part of here in time, and which will continue in eternity. And it has been said too in the scriptures that it is impossible to know what God has prepared for His children, what it will be like there when we are able to enter into those eternal services and be free and at peace forever. But we know only in part, and we know that it does pay to believe, to continue in faith, even in the midst of struggles that we may have, the trials of this time, that it does pay to continue in faith, and even to put away sin as sin attaches, to go unto that throne of grace and be again assured through the power of the gospel that we can, in fact, be uplifted through those precious words that, Son and daughter, you can believe all sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. That is that privilege that we have to speak of the way and the journey with one another, to be comforted with the gospel even for matters that have troubled our consciences and made the journey slow. Jesus then relates that I was a hungered and he gave me meat. I was thirsty and he gave me drink. I was a stranger and he took me in, naked and he clothed me. I was sick and he visited me. I was in prison and he came unto me. All of these things, of course, we can say describe actually physical events or service that we can do to our fellow mankind, our brothers and sisters in faith, or those that we have been able to proclaim the gospel unto and come into faith. But we, as God's children, we realize that many are the needs of this life, and Many are the cares that go with it. But most importantly, that we could receive that bread of life, that manna that we need to continue in faith. And I think that's what's mostly spoken of here. Those that hungered and were given food could describe so easily each of us who make this journey along life's way towards that homeland shore, that we have received that bread of life here in the kingdom of God, that living word that has been empowered by God's Spirit, that is able to bring nourishment for the soul and to bring comfort. And that water of life, and ye gave me a drink. We know that God has abundantly cared for us and prepared for us this table of grace where we gather time and time again around His holy and precious Word. As the 23rd Psalm even related that Thou hast prepared a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And it too so beautifully pictures for us that God prepares this grace table where we can receive the bread and the water of life to nourish our hungering and parched throats and receive that which we need to make the journey of faith. I'm not sure if I related it more recently or not, maybe to a smaller group of people, but when I was in Kenya in the early part of October and we held services there out in the bushland, I suppose we could call it, part almost completely through the second devotion that was kept there in that mud hut. A elderly lady came through the door quite late, we could say, for the services, and listened for a short time. And then at the end of the services, she said that I have never heard such a message. And I, for one, got left wondering what had she heard. That the text and the, we could say, the delivery and the way that the word was proclaimed was so ordinary for the child of God that it seems so simple, and it didn't seem to me that there was some great revelation that was spoken. But she later wanted to believe her sins forgiven, and I thought that it was certainly a lesson for me that no matter how humble the Word of God can seem or how basic or simple, that it is the Holy Spirit that gives power unto it and opens the heart of the listener to that word. And even in her case, to that point, that she wanted to be partakers of the heavenly calling, to be a child of God, to live of this Word of God that is proclaimed, the manna or bread and water of life. Jesus talked also in this parable of those that were sick and were visited, those that were in prison and were likewise visited by the children of God. And of course, again, those parallels between life, everyday life, and the spiritual life. I can say from personal experience that, and I've heard of others too, that I, on two occasions, went to visit someone that was in prison because he had broken the laws of this land, and he had to bear that requirement that the laws of the land give out to those that break the law. But also, I found in both of those situations, I found that they had freedom. They had that freedom of a child of God, even though they were in prison and they could not move about freely in their external life. That in both cases, they had repented of their unbelief and they wanted to hear the gospel. It was quite different than we have here today, dear brothers and sisters, when we can freely gather in a beautiful church building and we can be together as older and younger and little children and so forth. It was quite different to preach the Word, the living Word of God, where a one circumstance or a guard stood there to make sure that nothing took place that would cause concern to the officials of the prison, to preach the word of freedom, freedom from sin, freedom from the power of the law, to preach under those circumstances that, yes, indeed, such a brother could believe all of his sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, even the sin of unbelief and all the things that went with it. Now, so too, that when on a different occasion, that services were held in a open room, and only a glass wall separated myself from the believing brother, and he too wanted to hear. And to me, I was so timid and so shy to proclaim that word because I knew the room was filled with people that were not of faith. And I had to proclaim to, or didn't have to, but I wanted and did proclaim to him those same words of freedom, the freedom from sin when the conscience is free through the power of the gospel. But it does give unto us that example or picture that freedom is on the inside of a person's heart. When we travel here in God's kingdom, we receive not only those very gracious messages of grace and peace that come through the Spirit of God to each of us, but we also receive the whole gospel, which includes those warnings that come to us and the experiences that the older ones have had, and warnings, admonitions, and teachings to avoid those places of sin and avoid the mistakes that many of us have made. But some can feel that such warnings are actually teachings and restrictions that should not be there, that they're teachings of the law or law-mindedness. But those that have their freedom of the heart through the proclamation of the gospel, they can discern too what are teachings and admonitions that come through the gospel. For all of Scripture is intended for our teaching and admonition as to how we should live in this life. But that the inner peace of the heart is the result of the blessing of the forgiveness of sins that has been received there. And I would say that I lack words in even how to describe the peace of heart to each of you, but I know that as a brother and sister in faith, you know that you have experienced and do experience each day a heart that is free of sin. And yet we know too that when we fall into sin and our consciences become troubled, that we feel that too. And we know that the Holy Spirit is grieved within us. And we know that we should go to a brother or sister or to our spouse to speak of those things that have happened and to again be freed from those doubts and sins that have attached. But we read also that the king shall say to the children of God, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So it speaks not of works, that we have done all of these things and therefore we are having acceptable because of them. But it speaks of this, that living faith does have fruits, and it kindles in our heart love towards God, towards His kingdom, and towards our brothers and sisters in faith. And we want to help one another in the difficulties of life, both in those that are physical and those that trouble the spiritual life. We want to help one another, want to uplift one another. And we, through the power that God has given unto us, we can do this with the gospel message. And we can preach even to those that do not have the righteousness of Christ, who are yet in unbelief and yet naked before God, as described here. We can preach that gospel of the forgiveness of sins, and such a one becomes heaven acceptable through the righteousness of Christ. But we read also those very sobering and even fearful words. We can say that the king shall say unto them on his left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Those would be very words that would be so frightful to hear, so consuming, and to be separated forever from the hope of eternal life and from the Heavenly Father. We can't, I don't think, even in part fully understand what that would be, to be considered those that are cursed, those that must face everlasting death. But many are they that walk the broad way, or that try to secure their own salvation through the works of self-righteousness. Many, we must say sorrowfully, even those that have once been partakers of the grace of God, of life in God's kingdom, those that once rejoiced in the power of the gospel in their life, but were deceived by the enemy of the soul, they too would face that kind of words that would be very difficult to receive. When we think that one who has once had this gift of faith, once had the hope of heaven, must then receive such a judgment. But we, dear brothers and sisters, is as fearful and as difficult as it is to think about such a time, we, as the children of God, need not fear. We live of the gospel and the forgiveness of sins. That is all that is needed in this life. So do not fear. Do not be doubtful that are you heaven acceptable, but trust in the power of the gospel and uplift your hearts to believe even at this time that all sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious blood. We in God's kingdom are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we should not be. That is the power of God that we have in our lives. So let us freely preach one to another, and in our homes, mother to father, and parents to children, and children to parents. Let us live of that gospel that is given unto us. It is the power of God, and we need not fear whatever may come, whatever battles we may face, either individually or as the kingdom of God collectively. We need not fear because the King of Kings is on our side, and he will safely lead us as a good shepherd to that final pasture that awaits each of us, that homeland which we call heaven. He shall lead us there. So we need not despair of the gospel that is the gospel powerful enough even for such a wretch as I who is prone to sin and falls perhaps even many times into sin. But the power of the Word of God found in the gospel is greater than any power that the enemy of soul can bring to bear against us. It is no match. Those simple words that believe all your sins forgiven in Jesus' name and blood are more powerful than any weapon or any thought that the enemy can bring against us. In fact, the scriptures say that the devil flees from the Word of God. So, dear brothers and sisters, once again, be comforted with the power of the gospel. Trust in the gospel. Use that gospel that has been given for us to battle against the enemy of the soul. And I, myself, in reading this text, I felt fearful and wondered that where will I be? Will I yet be preserved in faith in the kingdom of God, or will I be swept away by some wrong spirit or some temptation of the flesh? But I desire to believe even as you do, and I ask that can you bless me with that most precious blessing of the forgiveness of sin. I promise to believe even as you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us close our services by uniting our hearts in the benediction. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.